From the Land-Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It is the 21st day of April 2011. I'm Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities. He's in Lafayette, Indiana. Dan Zwicker is on vacation this week. A bit later in the program, Matt Bennett will be here from TGM in Windsor, Illinois, to take up the cash grain market. And along the way, we'll hear about the return of the soil residual herbicide. And I'll have some tips from weed scientist here at the U of I, Aaron Hager, on how producers can get back into the swing of using that particular method of controlling weeds. And it all happens right here on this Thursday afternoon. Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
On this Thursday afternoon, the last trading day for this week, futures finished higher. May contract in the soft red winter wheat pit from Chicago at $7.99.5, up 14.5 cents. July there, the harvest month, up 14 at $8.34.75 a bushel. Hard red in Kansas City finished at $9.43, up 12.25. May corn back in Chicago from the CME Group, $7.37.25, the lead option, up 4.5. July at $7.44.5, 4 cents higher. September corn at $7.04.25, up 7, and December the new crop, a dime higher, finished at $6.65.5 in the corn pit. March corn for next year at $6.73.25, up 10 cents as well. May soybeans at $13.80.5, 22.75 cents higher. July at $13.89.75, up 20.5. The August at $13.89.5, up 18.25, and September $13.85.25, up 16.75. November beans $13.82.5. up 16.5. May bean meal at $358.80, up 9.60. May bean oil, $58.27, 13 higher. Live cattle futures at $118.40 finished down 60 cents. June at $115.22.5 were off $1.27.5. April, feeder cattle at $132.27.5, down 42.5 cents. Now the May, $132.97.5, off $1.32.5. And the lean hogs finished the May contract at $102.05 per 100 pounds, down 85 cents. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media from the University of Illinois. Here's what the outside markets look like at this hour. Crude oil futures, June contract, $112.24 a barrel, up 79 cents. Ethanol at 2.58 and 6 tenths of a cent. That's a penny and 7 tenths higher, and the natural gas at $4.41 and 6 tenths, up a dime and 6 tenths. Heating oil or diesel fuel down 2 and 4 tenths of a cent to $3.19 and 7 tenths. The gold contracts finished $4.90 higher at $1,503.20 an ounce, and the Dow Jones Industrial Average just about 29 points higher now at 12,483. The dollar at 74.13. is down 0.23, and the CRB index on the afternoon at 367.44 is up 1.9 for the day. The weather forecast from the National Weather Service today says to should have mostly cloudy skies this afternoon in the Urbana-Champaign area with a high of 55 degrees, an east wind at about 11 miles an hour, though gust to 15 tonight, showers and thunderstorms, low of 44, an east wind at 13 to 15, the gusts as high as 18. Chance of precip this evening, 90%. Friday, occasional showers and thunderstorms here in Urbana-Champaign. High near 62. A southeast wind at 16 will gust to 20. Chance of precip tomorrow on Friday, 90% as well. Friday night, well, we drop off the chance of precip, but it's still 70%. Showers and thunderstorms are likely. That all coming before 1 a.m., mostly cloudy then. A low 51 degrees. Saturday, partly sunny. A high near 66. West winds at 11 to 13. They'll gust to 16. Saturday evening, a 50% chance of showers. Back in, thunderstorms too. Mostly cloudy. A low of 49 degrees. And on Sunday, a 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms on Easter. Mostly cloudy. A high near 65 degrees. More on the agricultural weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the hour. And we talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a Thursday afternoon, the last trading day of this week. Chuck Shelby of Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, is on the phone line. He's filling in for Dan Zwicker, who's vacationing this week. Thanks so much, Chuck, for taking the time with us this afternoon. What did you see in the marketplace today?
Well, we saw some good recoveries, good rallies. I think the bean market caught a little bit of a good bid today, as well as the wheat. Corn is kind of an interesting market, Todd. We saw the deferred contracts really lead the way. Old crop seems to be kind of hesitating, maybe with a little softer demand. But that new crop with the weather forecast we have, I think they're looking for people who are looking to buy out there into deferreds. When you look at this forecast that says we may not get any corn planted much till the first week of May.
And you are a farmer. How much have you got in the ground, and how much in your area has yet to be done?
We held off. It was kind of hard to do, but we didn't plant anything. I think it's very limited in our area as far as how much. I might say 1%, if that much. So I think, again, we still have the ability to get it done. I'd certainly like to be out there in the first part of May, but I don't think we've lost anything yet. But it's getting wetter. That's a concern, and we get these heavy rains or forecast, over the weekend, the first of next week. That could really slow us down to the point that it's going to make us nervous.
How much upside potential you think December corn has it at this point, just with the delays that you can see in the rainfalls that are already in the forecast, beyond the dime that's there, anything?
Yeah, I think so. I think we come in Sunday night, and the forecast is holding true as far as how much water, and that first week of May, maybe it slows down, but it's still wet. I think we're certainly going to attack the $7 level, and then, as we move forward, we'd have to see more delays to really be able to jump above that.
And will the old crop push along with it, or will it just hang on where it is and close the gap between the two?
Well, I think there's some in the market to feel that, that spread that the new crop corn will continue to gain on the old. I think technically you could drop down into the gap on the old crop and find your support. I think we will find buyers down there. But again, the focus with this kind of weather pattern, the acres, the need for acres, and the yield becomes more important as you move into May, if that's when we're going to get this crop planted. It's certainly making it difficult to get a supply that's going to be available to the market, and timing of that's going to be important too. The September contract may be a contract that starts to get the focus of the market. That may be the window when we're really, really tight because the new crop is slow to be planted.
Yeah, that begs the question, have you seen a place yet where demand has begun to slack off on price?
Well, I think when you look at the ethanol, that's a concern. This is only, the first data that's showing a decline. But if you continue to see that month after month, then that's going to be showing your demand starting to slip. Exports were decent again today, and when we go down in price, we tend to motivate those world buyers. You couple that with weaker dollars. So this just may be a temporary setback, but you got to look at those things as you go forward and make sure the demand doesn't start to slip away.
Did the strength in the soybean market today surprise you, given the fact that it's raining, and that usually makes traders think we'll be planting beans rather than corn eventually, and that there's an awfully big crop in South America?
Well, a couple things. We've seen that harvest kind of wind down. We've also seen a bean market that was technically oversold, so it made for a nice buy. And also, Todd, when you're slow on your corn plant, you're also going to be slow on beans. So if you push that window back and get them planted late, the yield becomes a factor. We also seen the outside markets get going with the gold, silver, crude's up, the dollar's down. So you probably had some extra influence there from some outside money that looked at it as a buy when you look at it technically.
I suppose end users would like to see a bigger break in the marketplace. Any point at which you think they'll find that and have an opportunity to lay in more supplies for the summer months?
Well, at this point, these markets, we have so many things that impact our prices and make a move. I guess at this point, I think there's fears of inflation out there in all these markets. I know we continually talk about China and them trying to slow down their demand. They do some things to kind of push back some purchases. But overall, when you look at corn and DDGs may have got high enough that meal has become a positive, and comes back into the ration. So that's maybe given the beans some support and reasons to buy this market again for those who need the beans.
Thank you so much for taking the time with us today.
Thank you, Todd.
Chuck Shelby is with Risk Management Commodities out of Lafayette, Indiana, joining us here on the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. He's in the stead of Dan Zwicker, who's our regular Thursday analyst. If you'd like to hear what Chuck had to say or any of our analysts, you can do that on our website. Again, anytime you'd like it, willag.org, willag.org. In fact, there you can find our Commodity Week program as well. That's the one we usually produce on Friday afternoon, but since there's no trade tomorrow and the markets are closed and we will be off here, we'll record Commodity Week this afternoon. It'll run tomorrow during this slot and then during its normal weekend slots on the radio station, so you can pick it up. Our guest this week is Joe Persaki. He's with USDA NAS, and we're going to take up some interesting stories, some interesting topics, I suppose, about the USDA reports and what might be coming in the future and how those might change. Joe Persaki, our guest on Commodity Week, will record that this afternoon and post it to the website this evening. It'll run tomorrow afternoon during the Closing Market Report. You can hear it right here on this radio station or off the website at willag.org.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 90 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Up next, a couple of notes from the specialist on the Urbana-Champaign campus of the University of Illinois as we head into the spring planting season. Dairy farmers, we'll start with them first, need to step back, according to Mike Hutchins, and make some adjustments as they're priced out of the corn market. I'll have a bit more on making feed need plans. The high price of corn should have dairy farmers pushing the pencil and calling a nutritionist right now. That's the advice of dairy specialist from Illinois, Mike Hutchins. They need a plan now that tells them what to sow this week and what to buy in June, he says. Without it, Hutchins believes many will be caught short of a forage and be forced to pay much, much higher prices in the future. First things first, Hutchins says in Illinois, feeding two-thirds corn silage is like putting dollars in the bank, and that means planting corn.
Farmers that feed higher corn silage-based diets typically will save 15 to 30 cents a cow a day more than going, say, to a high legume or small grain type feeding program. So there's dollars on the table. Maybe they need the nutritionist run some rations, say, what if I feed 50 pounds of corn silage or I feed 70 pounds of corn silage with today's feed prices? Where is my cheapest ration going to be? I will bet you, in most cases, it's going to be the high corn silage based diets. Now, do you have the land? Do you have the availability of storage on your farm to handle that higher level of stored forage as far as that goes? Or another choice may be in June, you better be out there buying your hay for this coming year. In other words, we're going to buy hay now.
There are lots of other options too. For instance, it was possible at the time of this interview to purchase Genron cottonseed for fall delivery at $220 a ton.
Should you buy that? Looks like it's an awfully good price. So what about corn? Well, right now, my price is $7.40 a bushel. Should I lock that in now if I need to have corn before next September? Or will that price come down? Or will it go to $8, as some people suggest? These are important decisions that aren't going to get any easier today or tomorrow, but are going to be faced by my dairy farmers until the new crop comes in, the new alfalfa crop comes in, or new corn crop comes in, or cottonseed comes online.
The point is this. The time is now to weigh the economic value of one input against another, making decisions about which feedstuff the dairy herd will consume in the future. Well, you know, just as the dairy farmers are having to figure out what the best economics for their feed prospects might be in these times of high yields and high prices, producers of those grains and oilseeds have to think about residual herbicides now because glyphosate isn't controlling all the weeds in the field. I'll have a bit more on the rise of glyphosate resistance and how it's causing farmers to rethink those weed control regimes and the return of the soil residual herbicide.
Agricultural information is made possible with support from ADM. ADM thanks America's farmers because everything they do starts with you.
Roundup Ready soybeans appeared on the market in the mid-1990s. They'd been modified in a way to withstand Roundup herbicide. Active ingredient, glyphosate. A glyphosate killed most of the weeds in a soybean field. A decade and a half of intense use of the product has changed that fact. Some weeds are now glyphosate resistant, and Illinois Extension weed scientist Aaron Hager says it means farmers are returning to soil residual herbicides for season-long weed control. That's how it used to be done, and he has some tips from the past for this season.
Product selection really represents the matching the correct product to the needs of a particular field. Not all products would fit on every acre that a farmer may have. For example, if they're looking for something to help them control a large seeded species like giant ragweed as compared with a small seeded species like some of the pigweed or amaranthus species, a lot of times their product choices would be different. We need one to really match up to whatever the most problematic species that the farmer is really targeting, and then try to match up either a single active ingredient or perhaps a premix that has two or more active ingredients on these individual acres.
The timing of the application is important, too, because it impacts how long into the season the residual herbicide will work. Hager says the most effective timing is either 2 weeks before or after planting, as long as the rate of application is properly made.
The challenge of some of these lower rate applications of a residual product lies in the fact that with some of the types of resistance that we have now, and in particular in water hemp species in Illinois, in soybean in particular, we may not have an effective post-emergent herbicide option. So the question of rate also works into the length of residual control later into the season, with higher rates typically lasting longer.
That's as long as it makes its way into the soil profile. Rainfall, and sometimes tillage, is an important part of a soil residual herbicide application.
If we had to write a prescription, so to speak, of an ideal amount and timing of precipitation, in general, we would think if we were able to get about a half inch to an inch of moisture within maybe 7 to 10 days after application, that would be about as good of a scenario as we could come up with.
But one that, like much having to do with the farm, is not a controllable factor. A rain event that provides less than a suitable amount of water or that comes too late will cause the soil residual herbicide to underperform. For University of Illinois Extension, I'm Todd Gleason.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. The firm develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information is available at www.stuart-peterson.com.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It is a production of Illinois Public Media on a Thursday afternoon. You can visit us online at willag.org. That's willag.org. Or dial us up on your phone at 217-333-3434 at 10:15 and 3:15 each and every day. We post a bit of analysis and either the opening or the closing numbers on that voicemail. Again, the number to call, 217-333-3434. Time to take a look at the cash grain market. On the phone line with us, Matt Bennett of TGM. He's in Windsor, Illinois, there at the Total Grain Marketing Elevator. Hi, Matt. How are you today?
How are you doing, Todd?
Oh, I'm dry, but I don't think we're going to stay that way for very long. And I suppose I wrote that story with Aaron this morning, and I wasn't thinking really about that last sentence where there wasn't going to be enough rainfall. It sure looks like there's going to be too much rainfall at the moment. I bet you're itching to get back in the field, aren't you?
Yeah, most guys are, but we're a long ways from it. Right in our immediate area, you know, we've had between 3 and 4 inches in the last 5 days, so it's awfully wet. There's some corn that's been put in the ground, like we talked there last week, but most of it is coming here and there, but of course the ponds, I think there's just no chance for the corn in the ponds this year.
So. Yeah, you said you had dug yours up last week and you could see it. Can you row it this week?
Some of it we can, and that we can't row, I mean, if you get out there and look at it, most all of it's coming, but of course you get to the ponds and a lot of it's just, I think it's pretty much hopeless.
Yeah, hopeless for that, and then it's cold and it just kind of sits there and waits around, and eventually I suppose it'll pop up onto the ground, won't it?
Yeah, it might. It's tough to say.
It might. You sound more worried than I thought you would.
Other than the ponds, I think it will. But in the ponds, you know, where it's sitting that for that long with saturated soils, I don't think it's got a whole lot of chance. Probably going to have to be spotted in.
So you've had time now for the last week or so to think a lot more about the marketplace. Any thoughts you want to share with us?
Well, you know, I was really surprised to see us fall like we did yesterday just because of, you know, some of the weather concerns. I think a correction is definitely due here and there, but it's pretty interesting to see us fall like we did yesterday and then bounce right back here going into a three-day week, and I think it was a pretty good sign that, you know, while there are some concerns based upon usage, I think that there's some pretty major concerns as far as getting the crop planted and what that's going to mean. You know, if we don't get in very early, this shortage going into fall could end up, you know, maybe being magnified a little bit more than what we've thought.
Now, the ethanol numbers for usage are off just a bit.
Yeah, I noticed that there yesterday. And then, of course, today the exports weren't anything to get too excited about. Japan's still a big buyer. But other than them, you know, we'd be kind of in trouble as far as exports go. So I think it's raising a lot of eyebrows as to what, you know, maybe could be deemed demand destruction if this keeps going on the way that it's going. But to me, we still have a lot of unknowns to get us to the new crop corn, especially in the heart of the Midwest. Further south, I don't think it'll be a problem, but, you know, where a lot of the needs are here in the heart of the Midwest, we're not looking like we're getting in the field anytime soon.
Yeah, so enough on both sides of the marketplace. You're willing to wait it out before you make any more decisions about new crop sales?
Well, I think new crop sales should be at a certain level. It depends on a person's comfort level, but I don't see a reason why a guy shouldn't have, you know, 25-30% sold at these levels. These are excellent. You know, our fall bid, 626, that's a heck of a price for corn. You know, just at a person's average yields, there's not too many years that they would have grossed more than that. And considering what input costs were last fall, I don't think there's too many years they're going to have a higher net income than if they just have an average yield with that price.
And then what do you think about the soybean market? Were you surprised that it rallied today?
I was a little surprised that it rallied. You know, it's pretty tough to say. You know, yesterday I thought that, you know, basically both corn and beans did opposite of what I maybe thought they might do. You know, bean exports weren't too bad today, but it's tough to say on the beans. You know, if we end up having problems getting the corn in the ground, it definitely would lend credence to the fact there will be more bean acres. But, you know, these prices, in my opinion, are excellent, both on the cash and the new crop.
And what are your bids for the day?
Fall corn would be 626, like I was talking earlier, and cash 723. And then on the beans, the cash price would be 1366, and fall would be 1343.
Thank you so much for taking the time.
Yep, thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM, that's Total Grain Marketing, in their Windsor location there in Windsor, Illinois. Joining us here on a Thursday afternoon on the Closing Market Report. I'll be back in just a couple of minutes when we'll take up the agricultural weather forecast, check on the cool and wet weather over the weekend and whether that will continue over the next 10 days and when there might be a break someplace across the Midwest. Producers might be able to get into the field, or at least the fields might be able to dry out, one of the two. Pete Levitt should be with us. Stay with us right here on the Closing Market Report from Illinois Public Media.
It's National Chocolate Covered Cashews Day. Small quantities of cashews were imported into the U.S. as early as 1905. World trade started after representatives of the General Food Corporation discovered these nuts during their mission to India in the early 1920s. It's also St. Buenos Day, patron against cattle diseases. On this day in agricultural history in 1835, Samuel Slater died. Slater was an English-American mechanical engineer who founded the American Cotton Tech textile, establishing the first successful cotton mill in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and others in the New England region. In 1838, John Muir was born. Muir was a naturalist who was largely responsible for the establishment of Sequoia National Park in California in 1890. Muir drew attention to the devastation of mountain meadows and forests by sheep and cattle, leading to his role as father of the national park system. And in 1915, Garrett Hardin was born. Hardin was an American biologist and author known for his classic essay on ecology and social ethics, Tragedy of the Commons, which was published in 1968. The story was a parable about farmers who allowed to graze their cattle in one field as much as they wanted to. Each acted in their own self-interest, and the field was eventually destroyed. And that's This Day in Agricultural History.
Listening to the Closing Market Report on a Thursday afternoon. This is the third Thursday of the month, and Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, is here to tell us what the National Weather Service had to say about the long-term forecast and whether he agrees or disagrees with that and what we might see in the coming week. Why don't you, Pete, start with the National Weather Service forecast, please?
Okay, it's rather straightforward. For the month of May, we're going with temperatures below normal across the northern tier of states, from the west coast to the Great Lakes, and then above normal in the southwest, elsewhere near normal, which presumably is of the Corn Belt. And then for the 90-day forecast from May through July, we still have cold the northern tier of states, and we've got warm temperatures across the southern tier. So a cool outlook from now right on into the summer months for the northern tier and for much of the Midwest. As far as precipitation is concerned, we have it wet in the northern tier of states, the Midwest, and the Northeast as we move into summer. So just summing up very quickly, it looks like a cool summer and a summer that's probably leaning above normal. It looks like there's little chance of drought. It'll be warm in the southwest in the desert areas and some of the droughty areas of the southwestern, extreme southwestern wheat belt.
The last time we had a cool, wet summer, we had a big corn crop.
Well, cool and wet is good for corn if you can get it in and up and you can get it matured. But that's very true. Corn loves cool weather, especially in the southern half of the belt. You're pushing it a little bit when you get into the northern stream.
Indeed. And you made a note that if you can get it in, that doesn't look like that's going to happen for a while. What do you see?
Oh, that's the problem there. We've got a lot of wet weather coming. First of all, for the central portions of the Midwest and the East, a very wet week coming up with frequent episodes of showers, a little taste of it late today or tonight. And then tomorrow night, right on into the middle of next week, we've got showers almost every day at times. There'll be some warm periods, but it also looks like we're going to be in a period where there's a severe local storms. We're in that pattern of severe local storms, and I expect we're going to continue to see those storms next week, particularly Monday and Tuesday. And this is just the characteristic when you have cool air lying to the north and warm air to the south and a strong jet. So look for lots of wet weather, 4 to 6 inches for the period between now and, say, next Thursday from Missouri right on northeastward into central Illinois. It'll be a little less wet in northern Illinois. And in the upper Midwest, where they're still trying to get stuff done in the ground, they've got their own wet weather patterns. It's not the same system initially, but they'll be wet early, a dry day or two, and then wet again later. We don't see much coming in the way of good weather for planting.
Pete, thanks so much for joining us today.
My pleasure.
Hey, Pete Leavitt is agricultural meteorologist, joins us here on the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. Remember, it is the last trading day for this week, and there will be no markets tomorrow. The Closing Market Report will air tomorrow. It'll be Commodity Week. Our guest will be Joe Prasocki. We'll figure that one up so that it'll set in the Closing Market Report slot. And then we'll be back here live on Monday afternoon. You can hear Commodity Week if you'd like, and just can't wait for it at willag.org. I'll try to get that posted this evening. You have a great day and a good weekend. I'm Todd Gleason.